I've just been following your teaching for about a year now,
Okay.
and I have actually developed the routine. Like in the morning, I'll get up
Oh,
at
very good.
five,
Wonderful.
and I'll
Oh,
try
okay.
every day. I'll try to sit
Yeah,
for about
religious
40
routine is
minutes.
very important. You can do it. You will progress very fast without
I
you
cannot labyrinth tune the mind. It's like, it's going everywhere, Certain days are good. Certain days are like,
I
oh.
already explained to you, Casey. Listen again. Listen again. Huh? Listen again.
Yeah,
This
yes.
time, because it's recorded, it will benefit you. So what happened is you need to have faith, sincerity, then patience. Patience and persevere and just do. Means initially you must have the understanding first. Then only you can do. Understanding means what? Like just now you report, not easy. The mind wanders, do a lot of funny thing. Eh? So what's wrong? The untrained mind is heedless. I already told you. And why is it heedless? Because you lack the five spiritual faculty. Your faith not stable enough. Then the virya hasn't come out strong enough. Then you will not move on to sati, because sati is the actual meditation. You have to stabilize the awareness nature. Not until your religious routine enable you to tie in your cultivation, because everything you do will develop the spiritual faculty. That's how you transform. But before it happen, if you give up, like you say, not easy, then of course you can't do it. So like I said, how to develop the religious routine? Pay respect with faith. Faith means what? When you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who the Buddha is, he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And his Dhamma can free your mind, can liberate your mind, can transform your life for the better and make you a completely different person. And this is the most important thing you need to develop understanding in life. Without this, you suffer, you become afflicted, miserable. So that faith, once it is there, you see the importance of this teaching, you will go all out to cultivate. That's why the spiritual zeal will come in. And this mental faculty or spiritual faculty will overcome your mental hindrance. Then you start to do the bowing with the faith. When you mindfully bow using your routine, you just bow. Don't ask questions. Don't try to know. Persevere and just do until the body and mind move as one, until the sati arise. When the sati arise, you will know. Your form and mind will know, because all of a sudden you will come to realize you become different. You realize everything you do, you don't think anymore. The awareness and the bodily activity, they have become one. And you are like very graceful. It is like automatic when you do that time. There is no lapse. Everything like very smooth. Like when you are very skillful, your stroke are very graceful. Your bowing become very graceful. You don't need to slow down, nothing. But the mindfulness is there. It become very graceful. Like the body and mind move as one. Then when your mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. You have to do until that thing happen. That's why be patient. Then silence your mind, meditate more. If you do it every day when you wake up, do the religious routine, means the pre-puja, then meditate for a while, then share merit, transfer merit, do the closing puja, then pay your respect. Then everything you do, be mindful, be aware, develop the daily mindfulness, read the Dhamma sharing book, especially the Heart Sutta. Write down whatever that is important, then cultivate accordingly. Then do some basic important things to transform your karmic affinity. Means you need to ask for forgiveness or repentance from whomever from the distant past until now, whom you have very knowingly or unknowingly caused any karmic negativity or suffering or misery or misled, you sincerely ask for forgiveness. And that one is very important. It will break whatever karmic obstruction that prevents you from progressing. Then after that, vow not to repeat all this wrong thing anymore. You vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil via keeping the precept. And look at the precept. Understand why you must keep the precept. Because when you violate the precept, it constitutes major evil. And your karmic nature fall. And your life also follow, fall. So when you keep the precept, you protect yourself, you protect others, you will grow. Then after that, cultivate wholesomeness. Follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the four right effort. The initial six path factor first. So do it. Then after that, when the sati come, you develop samadhi, then you meditate. Through doing this, you will develop a lot of wholesomeness, even attending this type of classes, listening to the audio file, the video file, you are developing the 10 meritorious actions that evoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to progress, to meet up with the wise, avoid the foolish, until Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. You do all this, I guarantee you, within not more than 6 months, you will transform. And you will become very different. You will progress very fast. Okay, Casey?
Yes, I noticed that I am able to sort of like, when something unwholesome comes up, then, you know, you have sort of like a check that you can say, or say, no, don't go that way because that's not right, you know. So that sort of thing, I do notice, notice much more rather than previously. Everything was like so heatless. You just go like, you know, angry, like, put some more, wipe the floor some more,
so
and all that.
This is a good start. Start. At least now you start to develop the awareness of this thing is wrong, not appropriate. So you need to change. And the second step is more difficult. The second step is develop the clear understanding, then cultivate and change. The four right effort. You remember the four right effort?
Yes.
The first right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood, and whatever that is not accordance with the Dhamma way, which is negative. So all this, do it first. You can't abandon following the five way, especially the third way, the meditative way. Then it means you have not really gone into the cultivation. So the first right effort already demand quite a bit of understanding to cultivate. The first one is think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. When you are angry, develop metta. Recall to mind great loving kindness. So that when you have metta, when you are able to wish yourself well-being and happiness, others well-being and happiness, you have to do it until it becomes a new way of life. Then when you have metta, you cannot get angry anymore, isn't it? So anger can be rooted out with metta. Then when you realize you are selfish, you have cruelty. When you are selfish, you must develop wisdom, contentment, and understanding not to be selfish. Without contentment, human beings are selfish. Then without compassion, you will have cruelty. You will have negative thought to take advantage of people, to harm people, to cause suffering to people. So all this direct opposite wholesome thought can make you beautiful. Then sometimes you must have gratitude, respect, contentment. All these are virtue, important, positive virtue that can root out the opposite negative evil. Like, contentment is a good way to overcome greed. Respect is to overcome ego disrespect. Gratitude is to overcome envy, jealousy, remorse, and all those things. Well, when you have gratitude and respect, you become beautiful. Your mind states are beautiful. So that is the first way to root out. So that is the beginning of the first right effort to change for the better from evil states of mind to positive state of mind. You develop wholesomeness. Then the second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah, these are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. Do you want to have them in your heart, in your mind state? Do you want to hold on to anger, grudges, remorse, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, selfishness? If you hold on to all these are evil roots, root of all evil. It will make you evil. Your life, you have to decide, is that what you want? If that is not what you want, you don't want your karmic nature to fall and to have the miserable life, then please wake up, determine with right effort to abandon all these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the envy, the jealousy, the fear, the insecurity, the selfishness, all this. Abandon them, because when you think of the danger, the consequence of holding on to all this, if you hold on to anger, it can make you very evil. Angry people will kill, harm, speak harshly, and misbehave. Through delusion, they can also kill, take advantage of people, commit crime. So when you reflect, contemplate, and understand this Dhamma, you become different. Then the third way is the meditative way. When you see the danger, you determine to abandon. And how to do it? The third way. The Buddha just say, relax and maintain awareness. When anger arises, stay with the anger. When I say stay with the anger, you have to listen carefully. Yeah? I don't want you to continue to think and become more angry. That is not staying with the anger. Staying with the anger is to silence your mind. That's why I say meditation is relax, aware. Aware of that anger manifesting, growing. Then your awareness and the anger become one. No need to do anything. No need to think. Just stay with it. Be with it. Let's see what happens. Whatever negative thought, whether anger or fear or remorse or selfishness, sorrow or lamentation, it will cease. It will end. Because when you don't give it any more thinking, negative energy, it will cease. Because the awareness is a purifying force. It will purify and cause it to cease. Then when you realize your mind becomes quiet, peaceful, and tranquil again without the emotion of anger or hatred or fear, then you develop wisdom. Then you realize anger was not me, not intrinsic in me. Fear was not me, not intrinsic in me. They are dependent, originating. When I have wrong thought, I input the evil root, fear arise, anger arise. When I stir my mind, when I react to what I see, what I hear, what I smell, what I taste, what I tactically feel and think, then I realize this one is dependent, originating, condition arise. And if it's not me, why should I be deceived by it? Why should I get unhappy or having anger? The anger was never me. So I silence my mind, develop the meditative understanding, and let it cease. And when it ceases, I realize a very profound understanding of Dhamma. All the aggregates of mind, the feeling, the emotion, they are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. That's why it's impermanent. It comes and it goes. So if I give it meaning and deludedly attach, cling, and hold, it gives rise to suffering. That is what the Noble Truth is all about. The three universal characteristics. Impermanent leads to suffering. where you cannot understand what impermanent is. You don't like change. You want change for the better. You don't want change for the negative state. So when change happens, human beings cannot take it because they like the old way, the comfort zone. So all this understanding, when they surface, it free your mind. If I know anger is not me, I don't have to do anything. I just have to develop the wisdom that is the emotion that come and go, impermanent. If I attach, grasp, and give meaning, it trigger off suffering. I become afflicted. So why must I behave that way? My life, if I choose to be happy and peaceful, I should be happy and peaceful. Why am I not peaceful? Because you deludedly grasp onto anger, to the emotion, thinking that what happened is real. But everything is not what you think. Rupang anicang, vedana anicang, sankara anicang, sanya anicang, vinyanam anicang. And because they are impermanent, they are also non-self. So all this is in the teaching. So when you understand the third way, you will have the tranquility, the stillness. Then you will realize you have another mind, which is the true mind. And the true mind without thought is so beautiful. Well, without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. We have no more thinking, no more heedless thinking, proliferation of thought, no more evil roots. Everything is just the way it is. You are at peace. That's why you have to relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind return to its original state of true mind, which is the silent mind, the tranquility, the stillness of mind. That is your meditative mind, your true mind. Realize that in your meditation. It is very easy, not difficult. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor, the Buddha said, then retrospectively reverse it. Origination factor of the evil root, the anger, the fear. How did fear arise? How did anger arise? You trace. It's always from your senses. When you see something or you hear something that you don't like, or when you recall something that you have fear or phobia, insecurity. Then when you can trace the origination factor, then you realize these are wrong thought. Thought that condition, the evil roots, the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, the anger, the emotion. Then this is delusion, wrong view. So you have to straighten your view. Straighten your view means what? Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang. All these mind states are impermanent, lead to suffering when I attach and cling and give meaning. So why can't I just let things be? Silence my mind and be with it. So with this understanding, you develop wisdom to straighten your view. Then in the future, when you see something, hear something, smell something, or tactile, feel something, or recall something, your mind doesn't stir and react like before. Because these are habitual tendency, wrong thought. When you have wisdom, that is yoniso manasikara, it prompts you. Then you will not think that way. Because sankara anicang, you stop. Sankara dukkang, it leads to suffering, you stop again. Then dhamma anatta, everything is empty, non-self, not what you think. All this is very profound wisdom. When you understand this, your mind transforms. That's why cultivation is not so easy and straightforward, but you have to develop it. And when you understand, you develop it, it's not difficult too. Because today, this sharing is very important, very useful for many people, for many cultivators of the way, including you. If you understand this and do it very fast, you awaken. You can develop the wisdom, the understanding. It's not difficult. Okay, Casey?
Thank you very much, Brother Teo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu for your teachings. Yeah. I will strive on.
You listen to this again before you strive on. Then write down.
Yes.
Because there are so much things inside what I share tonight. You go and write it down, I tell you. No, write it down first. Then you read my daughter's mind map, you will understand. Otherwise, you cannot understand. They are like words only. But if you read write it down, read, you will understand differently. But when you write it down, you start to understand it better. Otherwise, you think you know, all become memory and knowledge. Memory and knowledge is no use. It cannot change you. Your habitual tendency keep on coming out. But there is knowledge, there is memory. You try to remember what I say, it will not change you. Maybe your knowledge and your thought, Dhamma knowledge, say, hey, Brother Teo said this is evil rule, no, I must abandon it. But you never try the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, especially the first four ways. If you never try and don't do it, you can never understand. You can never develop the actual wisdom, the direct seeing, the understanding, the contemplative understanding, the first and second turning wisdom. Then finally, the third turning wisdom, it cannot come unless you do. So knowledge is memory, no use. Okay?